American songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Jody Valentine over Zoom video. Jody talked about growing up in New York and how she got into music. She talked to us about writing songs at a very early age. She always aspired to go to NYU and even got into the Clive Davis Institute. She talked about the success of her song Open Ocean and her brand new release, Hindsight. You can watch the interview with Jody and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Jody Valentine.
Hi.
How's it going, Jody?
Wow, I like your setup. Everything is going well over here.
Thank you. I like your setup. Is that a piano behind you?
That is, yeah.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
My new addition.
Oh, really? It's new?
Well, it's old. It's actually my grandmother's.
Wow.
So I've had it my entire life, but it was just given to me.
That's amazing. Your grandmother obviously played piano.
Her husband was an orchestra musician. He played violin. Yeah, and he was in like symphonies. So he got it to have that in the house, and I ended up learning how to play anyway.
That's really cool. So you grew up around the piano then, obviously.
Yeah, at my grandparents' house, they had this one, and then my mom actually has still a baby grand Steinway, which is
wow. Amazing. That is so cool. And whereabouts did you grow up?
I grew up in North Jersey. Where are you from?
San Diego, California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're like on the opposite ends of the world, or not the world, the United States here.
Yeah.
I just talked to somebody in Scotland, so I'm like, so
time. That is very cool. There's a DJ in Scotland that I just started talking to because we might do some work together.
Rad. That's awesome. That's really
yeah.
cool.
Do you play keys also?
No, my dad and sister do. I just wish I did. I was like, yeah, I'll play guitar and then everybody could play that, and it didn't do me any good. So yeah, I wish I did. That's like one of my biggest regrets, is not playing piano. I've tried. I have two kids and I'm trying to get them into piano. And so one of them, the older one, it's been in lessons and stuff. So it's cool. So I'm kind of trying to pick up what he's doing.
How old is the oldest one?
12.
Oh, wow. That's like grown.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then my younger one's 4 and he's got a drum kit. So we're trying.
Okay. We actually just went to an arcade. I don't know if you have them out in San Diego. It's called Round One. Have you been?
Mm-mm.
It's like an upscale Dave and Buster's. It is the most fun place ever. And we were wearing masks and distancing, sanitizing our hands, but they had a drum kit the same way that there's Guitar Hero. It was a drum hero.
Wow. Yeah.
Needless to say, I cannot play drums.
That's awesome. Yeah. We got him an electric kit. So it's not like, yeah, obnoxiously loud. And he's digging it. So I just need to get him lessons, essentially. So
yeah.
That's next on the list. Piano and drums. And he has a little mini piano too, my 4-year-old. So that used to be.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah. So
you started young.
I know, right? Of all the interviews I do, they're always like, yeah, I started playing piano too. When did you start playing piano?
When I was 3.
Oh, there you go. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Piano was never, like, until I was about maybe in middle school, it wasn't something that I adored. I always loved singing. Mm-hmm. So I was in daycare and I had to be like 3 years old. And I was always singing in the bathroom whenever I would go, you know. And one day the woman, my teacher, was just like, to my mom, Julie, your daughter loves singing. So my mom like really took it seriously, put me in lessons, piano lessons as well. And I had the same teacher from when I was 3 until I stopped taking lessons, which was probably up until my senior year of high school. And at that point, we were just doing it for fun.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you're probably a pro. From 3 to what, 18?
I am by no means an excellent piano player. I learned how to play piano to like accompany myself. So I can play and sing, but you're not going to see me sit at the piano and play something classical. That just won't happen.
Okay. Okay.
So, but you give me a pop song and hey, I'll do it.
There you go. Well, okay. So you grew up at three, started to learn piano. And then from there, when did the songwriting and like kind of covering songs or singing songs start?
So I did my first performance on stage when I was three.
Wow.
And I sang Mr. Sun.
Did you play piano and sing at the same time?
No, that
was like, whoa, that'd be like viral action right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, before YouTube was a thing. Oh my gosh. But I guess I wrote my first song in elementary school in like fourth grade or fifth grade. I still remember it. And it is a club banger. My parents should have known at that point in time when I wrote that song that they were going to have some troubling years ahead of them.
Sure. Did you play it for anybody?
What'd you say?
Did you play it for anybody?
I sang it at the school talent show.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
What was the reaction?
I wish I could remember. I don't remember, but every once in a while it gets stuck in my head.
That's cool. And from there, like, did you just keep writing songs? And did you ever join a band or was it always kind of...
Yeah, so I went... I'm trying to think of the order. I definitely in middle school, that's when I was really, I classified myself as a songwriter. I went to sleepaway camp, which was a performing arts camp called French Woods Festival. It's up in upstate New York. So they basically breed artists, actors, actresses, photographers. I went every summer. Maroon 5 actually went there. That's where they met.
Wow, that's cool.
So and actually the craziest thing, I haven't kept in contact with him, but Paul Simon's son, his name is Adrian. I was friends with him every summer. He'd be at the camp and we'd be in rock band together and whatever. I haven't talked to him since I was like 12 or 13.
That's crazy though. Did Paul Simon like show up to pick him up at camp?
He did.
That's
he
awesome.
He did. He showed up to pick him up. And I'm so sorry, Paul Simon, if you ever watch this, he was not nice to me.
Really?
I went to shake his hand and he said no.
Really? Maybe he's like, maybe he just kind of foreseed what was going to happen in the future.
Maybe he was like COVID-19.
Yeah. He's like, you wait. But that's crazy. So you obviously went to this rock band camp, and from there, did you play with other people when you got back from camp, like at your high school or anything?
So in high school, every year I would be in these with my piano teacher. I would be in these concerts. He'd do them twice a year. Mm-hmm. So I had experience playing with a professional band since I was a little girl.
Okay.
And then the weirdest transition was actually playing my own music with a band.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was in college, I went to NYU.
Wow.
For
songwriting?
Yeah, I went to the Clive Davis Institute.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, so that was that was a great experience. And I was in a band with my brother. I don't know how many years older than he. He's like 31. I'm 27. So he was my bass player. He's a genius. Like he can pick up an instrument and just know how to play things where I have to sit. He's just one of those.
One of those people. Yeah. I've met him.
Yeah. And then his buddy, this guy, Dan Birdman, he is a drummer and I think he still plays for an artist. I don't know who he plays for now, but so the three of us did a little trio and we played all over Manhattan at like pianos and the Bitter End. And I'm trying to think of other places. We definitely played a bunch of gigs. And then I realized I like playing by myself. I'm more of like a Sara Bareilles person by myself or Regina Spektor type.
Sure.
So I don't really need the
band.
Band.
Right. Well, you said your brother was in the band with you. Did he also attend NYU? Or is he
No, he went to school for economics.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he was just talented and wasn't his passion. Gotcha.
Yeah. Well,
tell me about getting into NYU. There must have been some sort of auditioning process or how was that?
Nerve-wracking.
Can't imagine.
So I had gone to, actually, the Clive Davis Institute did a summer program that you could go, come and stay and for the entire summer and sleep there and attend classes. So I did that in high school, maybe when I was a sophomore or a junior. And then my mom was convinced, you're going to get into the program. I knew from when I was like a toddler that NYU was my school.
Really?
I had picked it out. It was like my whole life. I was able to do well in school because I wanted to go to NYU. It was just like my dream.
Were you one of those kids that had like the NYU pennant on your wall when you were like in middle school? You know how the kids, you'll see like the kids that like, like Penn State or something.
I would
like
definitely wear like NYU gear. Like, so I was actually born in Brooklyn and my parents have been divorced since I was like before I could talk. But my dad used to take me into Manhattan all the time. And my mom like very strongly identifies as a New Yorker. Even though she lives in Jersey, like she'll forever be a New Yorker. And I kind of feel the same way, even though right now I live in Philadelphia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. So when I was like, if you've ever heard of Magnolia Bakery, does that sound?
No, to be honest, no. I haven't been to New York City.
And oh my gosh.
I know, right? Isn't that bizarre? I've never been.
Wow.
It's going to be a new thing for me. I know. We had this whole plan to go and last summer, and obviously that wasn't going to happen. So we had to cancel the plane tickets and all that fun stuff. So sooner than later, I'll be out there.
Yeah. New York's incredible. I mean, you have to like that type of hustle.
Sure. I mean, I lived in San Francisco, so I'm assuming it's probably pretty similar.
Okay.
I'm sure it's just way quicker.
I went to San Fran like when I was 22 or something.
Okay.
Yeah. I preferred New York. Sorry.
I've never been. Don't offend. It's not going to offend me.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, but NYU, how did you get into the program?
Oh, yeah. So, they had this crazy audition process. It's even crazier now, but not only did you have to audition, but you had to write, like, I felt like I wrote 8 essays and I remember being so anxious about it. And actually there was a girl in my high school that was also an artist. She didn't write her own music, but she released music on YouTube and had a very loyal following. And like her videos surpassed 1 million views by the time we were seniors.
Wow.
So I was like, they only accept 30 applicants a year. And this girl, I don't want to say her name, but I was like, even if I went to their high school program, she already has a name and I don't. Like, they're looking for these superstars. You know, I graduated with Maggie Rogers and Fletcher and they're two huge names and they were my classmates.
Wow. You know?
And Emily Warren was a grade above me. She writes for Dua Lipa now. Like, it was just a breeding ground for these super successful artists. And so I was super nervous. I submitted everything. I had the interview and they asked me to sing on spot. Like, I thought they were just trying to gauge my personality. And they're like, so you're a singer, right? My mom actually somehow filmed the interview. Like, yeah, I am a singer. They're like, okay, sing. It's like, I was not prepared for this. So I sang and they were like, okay, we really like you.
What did you sing? Do you remember?
Yeah, I sang At Last.
Okay. And just on the spot, they're like, all right, and go.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, this man, his name is Bob Power. He's a very famous audio engineer. He was like, you got some pipes there, girl.
That's cool. That must have been a pretty validating comment.
Yeah, I didn't find out then that I was accepted. When I got the acceptance letter, I didn't apply to other schools. In my mind, it was like, if I don't get NYU, I'm not going to college and you can't make me go anywhere because this is my dream school. Like, I was very stubborn, you know. But I got the letter. I was actually sitting at the piano, like twinkling on it one day after school. And I got the email on my phone, no idea what type of phone I had. It definitely wasn't an iPhone. you know?
The Nokia always, with the snake game on it?
Probably. Flip phone. Maybe it was a BlackBerry. I have no idea.
Wow.
I don't know. So I opened the letter that came into my email and immediately started crying. And I have an older sister, so she drove home and she happened to drive home right when I started crying. So I ran outside and like jumped on her car. She's like, what's wrong? What's wrong?
Oh, that's cool though. She probably was like, did something happen?
Yeah. She thought somebody died.
Right. Oh my. Well, so you get in, that's huge.
Yeah.
And from there, what happened for you out or in within school? Did they get a deal with anybody? Like what happened?
So I had a couple difficult years, like developmentally as a young woman, just mentally, I wasn't in the best place to make friends, to have like anything. My music was in a different place. Like I think I've grown up quite a bit. I actually teach high school now. So I'm a high school music teacher.
Wow. And that's amazing.
Yeah. And you know, I am very grateful for this job because it helped me grow up a lot. You know, I had some problems with my family and I just was kind of like this little ball of like aggression, but I like hated the world.
Sure.
So
as most do like in their teen to early 20s.
Yeah. So we asked like what I did when I was there. I did work on a couple records. Two of my professors actually noticed that I was like mentally going through things and on their own offered to like essentially be my therapist. They call it mentors, but I saw this guy, I don't know if I should call him out, but I saw one of the professors, he's very established and he would meet me every Tuesday and we would just sit and talk and it was super helpful. And then one of my performance professors one day after class was like, you need to come to my house and pet my cat and have some tea. I'll even give you crackers. I was like, okay. All right. Yeah. And then had some super weird lucky break through Bumble. Matched with a guy that was a producer. Mm-hmm. And I ended up just like for fun sending him a demo of a song that I wrote. And he was like, oh, yo, I'm going to use this. And it ended up going out on a Schwazy record, who I think is from California. He did Baby Can I Be My Corona.
Yeah.
So they used my song on one of his records. So then it like made me feel, oh my God, it's finally happening.
Right. Well, that's huge.
Yeah.
And what was like, was that song called? Do you remember? I mean, obviously you remember. What was the song called?
It's called Own Damn Party.
Okay.
Yeah, I was really upset because, I was upset all of my college years. I lived in an apartment with a bunch of girls in a sorority, and it was like, I want to say 8 of us or 6 of us or something.
Wow.
And I was the only artist and definitely not in their social circle. So they had a party one night and they didn't invite me. And I was in my room and I was like, drinks on me, I'm my own damn party.
That's good.
Yeah.
So from there, you got a cut on a record, which is massive, right?
Yeah, got a cut on a record. And then I developed some confidence and started work. I had a mentor that oversaw the first couple songs I put out, and he was really like fundamental in helping me like really believe in my dream. Because he was like, you don't need a producer, you're a female producer, hire the musicians, you don't need to produce on Logic, you can have real musicians play. And he's like, you could do it that way, and then you could be a female producer that writes your music and is in control of everything. You don't need to give anyone a percentage of anything. And I did it that way. And those songs came out great. One of them won a songwriting competition.
Wow.
Yeah.
What song is that? Are they up online right now still?
Yeah, that one's called What You Desire.
Okay.
Now I listen back to the recording and there's so much I would change about it now. But
sure.
you know. Well,
with you entered the song into a songwriting competition?
Yeah.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, I just entered it. At the time, it was called Indaba Music. So they used to do like remix competitions and songwriting competitions all the time. Then they got swallowed by a company called Splice. Mm-hmm. Now Splice offers loops to producers and musicians to, you know. So when I won that competition, I had to upload all of the stems of the song, like the bass, the guitars, my vocals, and then it turned into a remix competition internationally, and 500 different DJs all over the world submitted remixes of the song, and whoa, I got to pick the winner. It was really cool.
That's awesome. So you got to hear like 500 different versions of your song.
Yeah. Actually, the funniest thing is if you were to go on to SoundCloud right now and type in Jody Valentine, you would see like 50 different remixes of What You Desire. I've never asked any of them to take it down because it's just like, I can't delete this part of my past. You know, right. It's like, it's cute.
That's cool. That's, you know? That's really cool. Yeah. So from that song, you had another break there. What was the next thing that you put out?
So that song came out, and then I got super lucky, another lucky break. I wrote a song in a Brooklyn apartment, and the person I worked on the song with ended up moving to like China, and our relationship kind of just like fell apart. But I had all the stems of the vocals, and I just sent it to my friend who's a DJ and was like, do you want this? Like, it's sitting here doing nothing. And all of a sudden, like the next day, he sends me back a fully produced version, which is this song called Open Ocean. Mm-hmm. And it got signed to a label out in Switzerland and now has like 600,000 streams. I just said the same thing that I did with Shwayze. Like, just, do you want this? Can you use this?
Wow. And that's how, because I was looking at that one on Spotify. That's huge. Yeah. Over 600,000 plays.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. Cool.
Reaching out to people, the thing that I'm finding now, so I've released a bunch of music by myself mm-hmm. this past summer, and it's mm-hmm. done like for me relatively well.
Yeah. And I mean, the most recent single has like, over 60,000 plays. It's just massive.
Is it?
I mean, 60,000 people have heard your song. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I guess I have very,
it's hard to put in perspective. Yeah. Like, but you're comparing yourself to people that have millions upon millions of streams. Yeah. But what does that mean? Yeah. You know, if 60,000, imagine playing to 60,000 people. That'd be huge.
Yeah. That'd be incredible.
Yeah. Right.
That'd be amazing.
Like a football stadium. So,
yeah. I mean,
that's something to shy at. But you released quite a few songs this year or last year, I should say.
Yeah. I finally actually got to a place where I could afford to, I don't want to say like take some risks, but I could invest more in my music. Mm-hmm. And I was working with a lot of people for the last 2 years and us doing like mutually free work. And it never came out the way I wanted.
Okay.
And then I realized, you know what? This was me, like, I'm gonna be turning 27. I need to just pay someone. And so now I have a really close friend and we work a lot actually. So I pay him to produce my music. We also write music together. And I've written a number of songs with him for his project that's going to be coming out. He is going to be releasing like an indie folk project. It's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of exciting to write on other people's projects. You know, okay. I never viewed myself as someone that wrote for other artists, but it's been really pleasant. I had another song come out with another artist this year. Her name is Aubrey Toon. And I was really happy with that recording. It's just kind of cool to see someone else sing a song that you're a part of, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. Do you write music?
I do not, no.
Yeah.
I just enjoy listening to it. I've been in radio for 15 years. I've always been on the other side of the coin, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I tried to play in bands and stuff as a kid, but I knew that wasn't going to happen for me. And this is my way in to the industry was going doing radio, and then obviously now I started the podcast, so this is what I enjoy doing. I love learning about other people's stories and their journey, and I'm just huge into, like, you know, documentaries, and it fascinates me, people's lives and how they get to, you know, doing what they're doing. It's just something I've always been interested in.
Do you find that you can sense, like, star quality when you talk to artists?
I don't know. Yeah, a little bit, I guess. I was very good at on the other side of things, like listening to songs right away and telling if it was going to be a hit.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like what I could hear and go, oh, I think that'll be a hit. And then sometimes it was and sometimes it wasn't right. But I don't know. That was my kind of journey with that. I always enjoyed like hearing something first and going like, do I think this song could do something? But at that point, there most of the time, it was like a song, an artist was already signed to a label, because it was like to the point of like radio point. I wasn't like A&R. I was like, is this record going to go on the air in San Francisco? Is this record going to go on the air in San Diego? Like that was kind of the where I was at when it came to the music.
That's
side
so
of things.
Cool.
It was cool. Yeah. But I wish I could play. And if you know what I mean, it'd be much more cool to go out on stage to like 50,000 people, but hey, teach their own.
I still get nervous. I did these live stream gigs are a totally different experience. And I've been doing a whole load of them because places have been hiring me to do them. So I got hired by a congregation in New Jersey to do a live stream from the room. Mm-hmm. And man, I was so anxious just playing to a group of like middle-aged to older people that I've never met before. I can't see their faces. Like, I see that there are 30 something people in the live stream. I'm like, I don't know any of you. Oh my gosh.
That's cool though. You know, 30 people showing up while you're playing. I mean, that's pretty good. It's just like, I'm going to be going live right now. And I've seen a lot of your videos on your Instagram.
Oh, so, cool.
You do quite a bit of them. Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, you know, some days it's more enjoyable than others. I have like these two sides. Like 2 weeks out of the month, I'll be super critical and harsh on myself. And the other 2 weeks of the month, I'm like, I am the greatest ever.
That's cool.
So it's hard to, like, the hormones and everything. It is like 2 AT those 2 weeks. It's crazy. But like, even I just uploaded a cover of Alicia Keys, and I really wanted to put it up on Monday for Martin Luther King Day. Mm-hmm. And I just was so in my head about it. I was like, her voice is so incredible. Why would I even try to do what she's doing? And then, you know, I just got like way too here. And then the next day I was like, no, Jody, you are going to put on a cute outfit. You're going to do it 50 times if you need to, and you are going to upload it. And from there, you just let it be what it is.
That's awesome. So you got you did it, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm currently pursuing a new opportunity. So I'm trying to build my profile on social media, on Instagram, so that when somebody goes to look at my page, and it's a very specific person for a very specific opportunity, I want them to look at my page and be like, she is very clearly a singer. She is dedicated to her craft. She posts videos of her singing, not just like selfies or pictures hiking or, you know, page to be very clearly, she is a singer and she practices what she preaches. You know, I'm like,
yeah, and you can tell that from your Instagram. I mean, there's just video after video after video. It's awesome.
Well, I'm trying to, thank you. I'm just trying to, you know, I say I'm a singer, I'm an artist. My page was mostly just like really cute pictures out and about. So I'm like, okay, people come to my page. What differentiates me from all the other artists? Because all these artists are posting like cute pictures of them out and about. It's like, I should just sing. Like, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. To just sing.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome. Well, I hope that person goes to your page and finds exactly what you're trying to put out there. And tell me, so you've released, I think, 4 songs last year, right? So what were those songs that you had already written and recorded post COVID or before COVID started? Like, tell me about where you were when that all happened and how that affected your music.
So started recording December of 2019.
Okay.
That was before. Hindsight was 2019.
December. Oh, wow. The most recent one.
And then I did a couple sessions there. This was all in New York. Forget where in New York. It wasn't Manhattan. It wasn't Long Island either. Maybe it was Long Island. I don't know. My friend had a home studio. They just moved to LA. Okay. So we recorded the vocals and did a lot of the production before COVID started.
Okay.
And then once COVID hit, I was like, my dream is like, I can't go to the studio. I can't work on this stuff. And then we just got it done. We really just got it done. And even one of the songs, Blue Eyes, mm-hmm. we had produced it a completely different way. And right as we were in the final mixing stages, I was like, no, it's not right. We can't do it. And he was like, Jody, come on. I'm like, I'll pay you to redo it. Just we're going to redo it because I'm not putting out something I don't love.
Sure. And then did you guys redid it, obviously?
We redid the whole thing in like a day and a half. And then wow. I was very happy and then set up the release and did that. And I've actually been working with, I have a song coming out in May. Mm-hmm. And this one's signed to a label. It's very different than what anything I have out. It's with a really cool, like, avant-garde type of artist. And I guess they're considered a DJ, but the music to me is really interesting. So that'll come out with this small label called Ophelia. And that was just done from here. I have a little closet recording booth and I just go in there. And that song was crazy because I had written a song to the instrumental he sent me. Mm-hmm. And when I got into the booth, I was like, I don't like this. And I just was like, what would sound better? And within a span of a minute, completely changed everything. And in my mind, like not reading from lyrics or anything, just recorded what was on my mind. He was like, yeah, I love it. I'll use it.
Wow.
And then I got signed to Ophelia. So it was just like, wow, why did I even sit there trying to write it? And it just, you know.
Sure. Second guessing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hindsight was the most recent release mm-hmm. of yours. Is that going to be part of an EP or a full record? Or do you have any singles coming out aside from the one you're just talking about?
Yeah. So it was going to be part of an EP. And I still have to think and decide. I wrote a song back with, there's one more song that's part of this group of songs that we're going to all come out together. Uh-huh. The last song that was going to come out is called The Man I Love.
Okay.
And this song, again, it had reached the final mixing stage and I just was like, it's not right. And it doesn't service the song the way I want it to. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite particular about that stuff. When it's my music, directly mine, you know, just my name. When mm-hmm. other people's names are on it, like I have a record that I've been working on with another DJ. His name is Vance. He's really cool. And I'm less particular about the instrumentation because it's ours and not mine.
Oh, interesting.
You know?
Yeah. So when you write a song, do you know if it's something you're going to try to pitch to somebody else or you're going to keep it for yourself?
I never know.
Oh, it just kind of happens either way.
Yeah. I have one song out of probably 1,000 songs that I've written that I feel is 100% mine that I will definitely record by myself. Mm-hmm. But that's like 1 out of 1,000. I'm not like territorial over anything I write. And you know, I would just like to give the song the best life it could possibly have.
I love that. But we can expect a new song. Obviously, you said coming out in next month or May.
Yeah, so we have one coming out in May that's 100%, like, that's set. And then a really weird, like, slew of songs that, not weird songs, but I have a cover of Closing Time by Semisonic.
Oh, rad. Okay.
So that's with a cool DJ duo that are actually in PA. They're called Little Legends. So we've been pitching it to labels right now and hoping that someone bites, because it's like a deep house type of track. I really like it. So that is definitely going to come out in 2021. And I have another song with a songwriter. She wrote the song, and then I came in and edited the song and changed some words. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to release that too, probably in June or July, I'd imagine. And then I have one more song planned that would just be a Jody Valentine release that I did with my friend Sam Bierman. He is a writer producer. So I very rarely write songs by myself anymore. And it's kind of weird. I used to only write by myself and like really swear by it. Uh-huh. And I feel like growing up and having way less time, it actually is nice. Like, just especially during the pandemic, it's really nice to just do things with people, whether it's through Zoom or, you know.
Yeah, kind of have some sort of normalcy to this weirdness that's going on. Yeah, for sure. Well, I can't wait to hear those new records when they come out.
Thanks.
And I appreciate you talking with me today, Jody. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
I have one more question for you. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
I'm sure I do. Do I have advice for aspiring artists? Well, something I've learned is that not everyone's going to be your fan, and that's okay. You know, you're going to hear a ton of no's, but then you'll get a yes, and that yes will kind of make up for all the no's. And maybe that, I don't know if this is just my journey or whatnot, but it's not always like this glorious little ride. There are lots of lows, but it's like it's kind of like a wave. So you have to be willing to ride the wave, because it comes with ups and downs. I think that's part of being an artist anyway, but you got to just like persevere through it and, you know, just be willing to see, like, be patient and see the result and be there when the result is like, you know, because there were things that I got frustrated with, maybe through submitting. I know there's this website called SubmitHub.
Yeah.
Which you can, So I remember submitting to 50 places and they all said no and critiqued the song. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I felt crushed. Like, I just put so much time and effort into it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to send it to another 50 places. And from there, I got almost like 15 yeses.
Wow.
And then I submitted it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep submitting the song. And then it ended up making it onto the charts of SubmitHub for folk.
Wow.
And
that's huge.
The first 50 responses were no. Which, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, the next day, I started at number 10 on the charts, and then I went up to number 3, all because I just persevered and challenged, you know. Even there was a woman, or a young woman, who runs a blog out in the United Kingdom, and she declined my song Blue Eyes from writing it up. I emailed her. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I was feeling sassy that day, and I was like, you know what? You seem like someone that would give the song another shot, so I would recommend listening to it again. And she listened to it again. She said, okay, I'll write it up.
Wow. That's huge. That's really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, you definitely have to advocate for yourself. And no doesn't always mean.